Turn to me to John's Gospel, chapter 8. Paul writes to young Timothy, and he says that all who would live godly in Christ Jesus... Let's try that again. Paul writes to Timothy, describing what he can expect if he's really going to live for the Lord. And he says, for all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Does that all mean all? Does that all mean you and I? It surely does if you're living for Christ Jesus, right? Now, last week we went through the portion of the text in chapter 8 where Jesus is declaring the freedom, the emancipation that he has given us. Look with me, please. Verse 31, chapter 8. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus is declaring that those whom he sets free are free indeed. His truth will set you free. And last week we looked at chapter 17, verse 17. My word is truth. What have you been set free from? Go ahead, tell me. The bondage of sin, okay. What else have you been set free from? Tell me some of the things you've been set free from by the Lord and your relationship with the Lord and through the person of his Spirit and his word.
Drugs, pornography, and fornication.
Okay, drugs, pornography, fornication. Hi, Cheryl.
Fear.
Fear. Very good. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear. A brave man or woman, like Rocio, only dies once. A coward will die a multitude of deaths, a million deaths, right? Now, we need to be strengthened here in this country because we know, we see what's happening. Is the culture in this nation lost or not? If you're observing of what is taking place, then you're aware that we are living in a fallen or lost culture. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I need to share this with you because it is so vitally important you understand that the persecution we've been awaiting for, it's coming. It's right around the corner. It's at the threshold. It's at the door, you see. And what God is going to do through that persecution that is coming for those who really adhere to his word, abide in the word, and the word abides in you, it's going to determine the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. And we see that happening more and more every day as John Michael is pointing out in Ministry Watch, the people that are falling away. It's amazing to me, some of the leaders who are caving in to the pressure that this culture is bringing upon them. We're not supposed to be politically correct. We're supposed to be followers of Jesus and his word. Romans chapter 1 declares what God does to a culture that turns from him. We see this pattern repeating itself over and over and over again. Where it first began was in Judah or Jerusalem when they had rejected God and his truth. And because of that, the prophets like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, like Amos, like others, declare that God has given them over. God is beginning to exercise his wrath upon a people who would refuse his love. And make no mistake about it, the gospel is love. God is simply saying, would you believe by faith in all that I have done on your behalf that you could never do for yourself? We'll talk about that at length next week. That'll be my message, that we are children of Abraham, of the seed of Abraham, by faith, by like faith as Abraham, in believing God, in believing the love that God has, the promises that God has made beyond our ability to comprehend at times. But here in Romans chapter 1, God is declaring the unrighteousness of man. We see socialism at best, Marxism at worst, really rising and forming in our country, and many are embracing it, particularly the young people who are so foolishly naive. And it will lead to communism. But this is all sprouted up. It's all a result of our forsaking God, who loves us so. A lot of people will give lip service to God, but they're not living for him. They don't want to suffer the persecution of maybe a circle of friends that won't like them any longer, or they may be defriended on Facebook, or just think naive or stupid for believing the gospel. And so that fear, that timidity causes them to shrink back. Well, they were never saved to begin with. Why? Because my Bible tells me that true believers will be as bold as lions in the day of adversity. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Is our society suppressing the truth? In many, many ways. Goodness, where is truth any longer? We could declare like Pilate, what is truth? We're lied to on a daily basis now. Our government is a criminal organization. And I can give you many, many facts to support that statement, that our government, the federal government of the United States, has now become a criminal organization, enterprise. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what be made known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power is Godhead, and so that they were allowed excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Futile in their thoughts, hearts were darkened, professing to be wise. Isn't that what the left claims? That you're the imbecile, but they're so wise. They have the solution, the answer to all of the world's problems. Just get greener. And they get meaner. Professing to be wise, they became fools in changing the glory of corruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up. First of three occurrences here in the book of Romans in chapter 1 where God declares he's giving them up, giving them over, giving them over, giving them over. This is something that has happened repeatedly throughout history. It began with Judah and Jerusalem. He gave them up, gave them over. Gave them over to what? Here in verse 24. He gave them over to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator's blessed forevermore. Amen. What did he give them up to? A revolution. What type of revolution? Sexual revolution. No, what he's describing here is that God has given them over to the lusts of their flesh. Now that happened in Judah, in Jerusalem. Oh, shockingly, these men knew that their wives were kneading and baking cakes for whom? The Queen of Heaven. And who is that? Ishtar. Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. And in worshiping the goddess of fertility, you would engage in all kinds of immoral sexual activity. You would engage the priests and priestesses of Ishtar. They were temple prostitutes, and indulging yourself in any debased, immoral, filthy act you could imagine. A sexual revolution. It happened in Jerusalem. It happened in Judah as they were embracing the gods of the culture around them. It would be Baal, the god who would offer them their prosperity. In the worship of prosperity, of riches, of things, and the worship of his consort, Ashtoreth. Sexual immorality. That happened in the Roman culture. The Romans went the same way. God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them. It's happening in our culture right now. Did we have a sexual revolution in this country? When? When? Started in the 60s, my generation, when I grew up. Woodstock, we convinced all these girls to burn something and drop something, right? We've got some children here. Can she be excused?
Sure.
Thank you. Are there any other children here? Our services are not for children. They've never been designed for children. We have a children's service that's designed specifically for them. And we want to bless them and speak to them in a way in which they will understand at their level. But I have some things I need to share to you. There's been a sexual revolution in this country. Fornication, adultery, widely accepted. 60s, 70s, a little bit of a pushback. But in the 80s and 90s, many Christian parents didn't seem to have much of a problem with their adult children fornicating, living together with their partner or their boyfriend or their girlfriend. And then adultery became popular to spice up the relationship you have. You want your marriage to be spiced up, the relationship you have with it? Well, get involved in an extramarital affair. Juice things up. There were movies that were made that encouraged that. But God goes on to say in verse 26, for this reason God gave them over to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what was against nature. Likewise, men leaving the natural use of women, burning in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error that was due them. This is another revolution. Yeah, the sexual revolution, where immorality was just widely accepted, even within the church. The men of Israel knew exactly what was going on, and they enjoyed the fact that their wives were worshiping Ashtoreth, kneading cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and it really spiced things up for them in their home. I was sharing with the men yesterday morning that even in Jeremiah, as this destruction came upon Judah and Jerusalem by the Babylonians, there was a large segment of the population that fled to Egypt. And there in Egypt, the wives of these Hebrews would begin again to knead and bake cakes to the Queen of Heaven. All of this is part of an immoral sexual sacrifice that would be offered to this goddess of fertility. We've seen all of that, haven't we? The free fall our society is in morally. Crasp. I mean, the F-bomb is dropped everywhere, isn't it? Even in news reporting now. Such a crasp, vulgar society. But here in verse 26, he said he gave them over to something else. What did he give them over to? Sodomite. Relationships. Homosexuality. A revolution in homosexuality. Have we had a revolution in homosexuality? Since the immoral sexual revolution, has there been another revolution in this society, in this culture, with regard to homosexuality? What used to be in the closet now is out in the open? Pride month? Pride day? Stealing the promise that God made? The rainbow? That he would never again destroy the earth with water. But what they don't understand is there's coming a fire that he will ignite, that they will never be able to quench. And there will be an eternal fire for those who are characterized by living such a lifestyle. We see what's happening. And I told you several years ago, I began to teach you and tell you the tip of the spear that the enemy is going to use to so divide the church, divide homes, divide our culture, is this whole homosexual lesbian agenda. We were born this way. Now they're not claiming to be born that way. It's their freedom of choice. And their sexuality is so fluid. One day they could want someone of the same sex. One day they may want someone of the opposite sex. It's whatever they desire. Have we not had a sodomite, homosexual, lesbian revolution? Have we not? Who's this soccer girl, this girl that plays soccer on the United States soccer team, and they're making her such a celebrity today? What's her name? Thank God you don't know, do you? Good for you. And the couple of girls who are on the team who are devout Christians, they got bounced. The persecution. Oh, but look what takes place next. Verse 28, for even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, and full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Sure, those who practice these things. But what does it say? Not only do the same, but also those who approve of those who practice those things. Sexual revolution, homosexual revolution, and then God says, finally, I'm going to give you over so that you're out of your mind. Everything is so twisted and so upside down in your thinking. Now, does that not describe the violence that is going on, the senseless violence? And they want to defund the police when homicides, murders, violent crime is on the increase like never before? We see what our nation, our government is embracing and trying to force on the people of the United States and giving up all of our freedoms and the attack on our religious freedom. Don't make no mistake about it. It's intentional and it's going to magnify. And those churches that cooperate and capitulate to the political correctness of the day, oh, they'll be okay. But churches like ours, we'll be underground. We'll be a house church. Has not the society seemed to have lost its mind? Am I right or am I wrong? Give me an example of where this craziness is on display, open for everybody to see in our nation. Gender bending. Gender bending. 37 different genders, they claim. 37 different genders. And now you know they have a place at PetSmart and you can go in the rainbow for your dog. My dog is not confused about his gender. I have not experienced a dog who's confused about whether it's a male or female. Have you? No. I tell all the people all the time I walk in, I said, hey, if I give you a nickel for every gender that's out there, how much would you have? And some people answer right. And some people say, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? There's a Y chromosome, X chromosome, nothing's changed. Biology hasn't changed. The science hasn't changed. Speaking of science, I was listening to a scientist who studies viruses, spent his whole career, and he said, "Look, I'm not going to tell you what the obvious truth is, but you come to your own conclusions." And he goes on, he makes this presentation about masks, different masks, and how certain masks allow certain micron organisms to go through the mask. And then he talks about the fact that the virus that we're talking about, this coronavirus, is so tiny compared to the allowance of objects to go through these masks. And then he takes off his glasses and he goes, and he says, "You see that? That's moisture." He said, "That moisture, that's enough moisture content for the virus to live in." Did you know that? That's all it takes. Then he put on five masks. Five. And he cleaned his glasses, and he breathed through the mask. He said, "Do you see that? Where's the science?" He said, "Wearing a mask is like trying to stop a mosquito from biting you through a chain link fence. And you can put up five chain link fences. It's still not going to stop the mosquito." Where's the science? God has created them, male and female. But what is happening here? They've lost their minds collectively, and it's a defiance against God and his authority. The word of God, the love of God, the authority of God, the Father God. I was going to go into a long explanation this morning to explain the rest of chapter 8 here, where Jesus is going to use Abraham as an example of the faith that they should acquire, not through the law, but by grace, through faith. And I was going to go into Romans chapter 4, and then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3 and spend some time there to see what a glorious gospel this really is. There's a quote in the Old Testament that's changed the world. That's quoted three times in the New Testament, once in Romans, once in Galatians, once in Hebrews, but it comes from Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. What is that quote that changed the world? Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, when he really absorbed what was being said here, what God was communicating, he began to protest. Protest what? Legalism, the law. You can't be saved by the law. Catholicism, starting the Protestant Reformation. What was that quote? What was that verse? Look at you guys. Yeah. The just shall live by faith. Having begun in the Spirit, who has bewitched you, that you would now continue to work out your sanctification, your salvation by works? Nay, never. The gospel is glorious. But let me tell you something. Those who want to gain control, those who want to oppress the world, our society, they don't want you to be set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. My truth will set you free. My word is truth. Now, what has set us free? The fact that Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. There was nothing you and I could ever do to merit our salvation. And the truth of the gospel, for by grace you have been set free through faith, right? And the just shall live by, that has liberated, has emancipated people throughout the world since the beginning of the gospel, since Father Abraham. But that's why you're being, that's why the church is being persecuted today. Why do you think China is oppressing the church now? Because Christianity liberates. It liberates women. It liberates the believer from the bondage of sin and to be mastered by the totalitarian views of any other people. But look what's happened in our society. Now, if it is true that the culture is lost, if it is true that God has given us over to a sexual revolution, given us over to a homosexual revolution, given us over to a reprobate mind, a mind that can't understand the truth, a mind that is so upside down, so twisted. And we ask ourselves, come on, how many times have you asked yourselves of late, what in the world are these people thinking? How can they be so stupid in making these decisions? God gave them over. Now, who's controlling their thinking? If it isn't God, if it isn't the Spirit of God, who's controlling their thinking? Of course, the God of this age, carrying them away in the sway and in every wind of crazy doctrine of devils, you know. Now, I want you to understand where we are today. And it's going to get far more difficult being a Christian. You can take the easy way out temporarily. Okay? What was that quote, John Michael? About not, it's dangerous to share the gospel, but it's even far more dangerous not to. Why? Because it's going to enslave the world. Bless you. Eventually, the enemy, bless you again. And bless you permanently now. We're approaching a time where the church age will quickly be over. The time of the Gentiles began with the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem in 605 BC. The Gentiles have been controlling what was given to the Jews by God ever since. We're almost at the end of that, the church age. God will be working predominantly among the Jew then after that. But there will be tribulation saints. You know, there's three types of saints the Bible calls saints, hagios, most holy. There's Old Testament saints. There are tribulation saints. Right? What's the third one? New Testament saints. Right. Now, the tribulation saints, however, are going to go through a horrible time of martyrdom and persecution. Much, much worse than we've ever seen before. Jesus said it'll be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen before, nor will ever see again. And my Bible tells me that Satan, for a time, Antichrist, Satan in the flesh, his representative on earth, will overcome the saints. temporarily. All he can do is put us in fear of being murdered, of losing my life here. But Jesus has set me free from fear. Jesus declared to them, last week we read this in chapter 8, that if you would believe and you abide in my word, you will live for? And they, how can you live forever? Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. They weren't informed, were they? No. We'll live forever. Oh, yes, he'll overcome the saints, but they will overcome. How? Through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ died for my sins. I could never earn salvation. I didn't earn my justification. I can't earn my sanctification, and I'll never earn my glorification. How do we receive those things? The same way you receive justification, or the same way God declared you saved? How? By faith. You're sanctified by faith, not your keeping of the law. You're glorified by faith, believing the promises of God. Now, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They wouldn't deny Jesus. They wouldn't deny the gospel, even to the point where it would cost them their life. Now, I can't tell you what would happen. Right at this moment, if someone walked through those doors and told me that I did denounce my faith, they're going to blow my brains out. But I have every confidence that because I'm more appropriate, he's living through me now, he will give me the courage to say, bring it on. How could I deny my Lord who loved me so? Go ahead. Now, we need to be strengthened. You need to be strengthened because this is a very serious matter. The church that's being persecuted in that 1040 window, they're strengthened. And every day they wonder when they awake if it's their last. But they're going to live every day for Jesus. Think about Jesus' life in the first century. What was his life like? I got up this morning running water. He didn't have the luxury of running water, did he? I had breakfast and a couple of cups of coffee, and so then I had to use the facilities. I had a flush toilet. Jesus never had such things, did he? Did he? I brushed my teeth and combed my head, all of this prep that I could do to my body, and then I had to go and decide, what am I going to wear today? I'm sorry, I'm a clothes hog. And I don't get rid of anything. I have shirts that are 30 years old and they're still in great shape. They'll come around. I'll be wearing them. Jesus had one tunic. Every day he wore the same tunic, didn't he? He didn't have a choice in what he was going to wear. And though wondering what he was going to eat, he had no idea. Jesus went days without eating. I'm just trying to control my daily consumption of ice cream. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We are so blinded by the opulence that we live in that we don't really embrace the reality of the life he has given us here, which the Bible declares would be full of labor and sorrow. Because for the majority of the world, for the majority of time, that's what it's been for every human being. Labor and sorrow. But the hope that they had in their hearts was the hope of the life to come, which caused them to be able to give up everything in this life for that life. We have a hard time comprehending that. The persecuted church, they understand that. They've had the enemy take everything from them. They spend each day just trying to survive. 9 out of 10 people in Jesus' day lived at a poverty level. The only thing they were trying to do each and every day was sustain themselves. Just want to survive. I just want to have enough nourishment for the next day. I've never had a day where I went hungry. Have you? Is anybody here? I've never. I've never experienced what it means to wake up and wonder if I was going to get something to eat. I've never not had a place to sleep. So I've never experienced, most of us have never experienced any of those things. And what the enemy has done is make us so comfortable, so fattened in our lifestyle, that so many will be readily willing to give up their adherence to the gospel, to give up their faith in Christ, to enjoy a few more creature comforts for a short time longer. That's a bad trade-off, isn't it? Many of the people we know who have these mega ministries and national platforms who are caving on the truth of the gospel do it simply because they don't want to lose the comforts, the creature comforts that they enjoy here in this world, in this temporal existence. But Paul's words are true, and we're going to have the privilege and the joy, for Christ's sake, of experiencing them. All who would live godly in Christ Jesus. What? So we're without exception too. That's all. Now we need to pray and prepare our minds and our hearts and our spirits for that eventuality. But we need to begin to be bold now. Now. And go out there and suffer the rejection. Suffer the rebuke. Suffer the mocking. If that's the worst we're going to receive, wow, big deal. $1.3 a minute? Is that what he said? $1.3 of my brothers and sisters each minute of each day, of each hour for 100 years were murdered? Have you ever studied the Inquisition that the Roman Catholic Church began, the Spanish Inquisition and the Inquisition throughout Europe? You know how long that lasted? 1,000 years of torture, of murder, of persecution. 1,000 years. And that will be nothing in the face of what the enemy is going to be doing at the end of the age as I read my Bible. When he's cast down from heaven and he knows he has but a short time and he is out of his mind in rage. The American dream, the left is doing a great job of ensuring we don't have that hope for our children and our grandchildren. It just doesn't exist anymore. Now, you may think I'm out of my mind and I'm crazy, but then you're not looking at the facts and you're not embracing the science. Oh, we only have 12 years because we've destroyed the environment. Isn't that what AOC said? I just want to spend the rest of our time, maybe another 20 minutes, in prayer for our persecuted brethren, and they're standing strong because the grace of God is upon them. That same grace that God gives to give us the measure of faith to believe, to justify us, that same grace that God gives to give us that measure of faith to sanctify us is the same grace that God gives to allow us to go through whatever we have to go through for the glory of his name and for his name's sake. The culture has been given over. The sexual revolution, it's come and gone. And it's gotten worse, right? We've had the homosexual revolution and it's here. It's not gone yet, but it's here, isn't it? But it's very clear that God has given over the society to a reprobate mind. We wonder why it's so difficult to reason with people that we would think would be reasonable. But they're out of their minds. So we need pray. And when you pray, would you pray loud enough we can all agree and amen? And in a few minutes, I'll close. But this is a very concerning matter, serious matter. Now, a lot of those who just want to enjoy their creature comforts a little bit longer, they're going to walk away. When Jesus began to talk on the real cost of discipleship, it tells us many walked with him no more. I call them Demas Christians. What's a Demas Christian? Popular. Demas walked with Paul for a time, but he wanted to be popular. And so he walked with him no more. And Paul declares, he said, and Demas has left me for the love of this world. Now, beloved, listen to me. Don't be surprised. We're going to see a myriad of people leave the faith, leave the true Jesus Christ for the love of this world. Oh, I hear the younger generation saying, that they've rediscovered Christianity, reinventing, reconstructing Christianity. They've discovered the real Jesus. It's nonsense. It's a justification for their self-indulgence. That's all that is. But you and I, we want to be strengthened And we want to encourage other brothers and sisters to be strengthened, to stand firm in the faith once given for all. Amen? There's only but one way, and there's only one name. And John Michael is absolutely correct. You can engage the society, you can engage our community in conversations about God, 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 God. But then you start talking about Jesus Christ the Lord. Whew, changes everything, doesn't it? Then you'll find out. Because they want to embrace everything as Judah did of old. Oh, Yahweh, yes, Baal, Ashtoreth, the pleasures of this life. In the compromising church today, we want no part of it, right? We want to shine like lights in the dark. We want to be that salt that God calls us to be, to create a thirst, to be a disinfectant, to be a preservative. Jesus said, you alone. You alone are the light of the world. You alone are the salt of the earth. So let's do that. Let's allow God to do all that he desires to do in our hearts and our lives at this time. Like a Daniel, a man of character, of conviction, of courage, like a Joseph, like an Esther. We can do the same. They were no different than you and I. They just yield themselves to the Spirit of God. And so can we. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray.